like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is relatively new to me. I know I definitely heard the name before, and I've seen, you know, some stuff on social media and things like that, but you really were sort of a new one for me, which is always nice, because I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I have a lot of bands that come on here over and over again over the years, and those are great too, but it's always nice to sort of have fresh faces and voices on the show. So I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you who are here want to introduce yourselves, what you do in the band, and then maybe just a quick rundown on what the band's all about.
All right. I'll hand it to Draven, since he's a senior member compared to myself. I'm newer.
All right, my name is Draven. I play bass and do vocals in the band.
All right. Yeah, I'm Joaquin. I recently joined probably back in like April of 2024, and I do like lead guitar. But this is definitely that was my first introduction to these guys and the band. I will say that though.
Okay. And so how long has this actually been a project? Because I mean, obviously, you know, it's 2025 now. You got at least a year there since you joined. Obviously, there's some time before that. What's sort of the history of this project?
Originally, the project was started up in 2018.
Oh, wow.
Like, I want to say it's summer. We were under a different name at the time and playing a different kind of music, but we shifted over to what we do now, the crossover thrash type. It just fit more with what we wanted to do.
Okay.
Now,
and so obviously in that time frame, I mean, starting 2018 to now, you had a big chunk there during the pandemic, which obviously no one could play shows, no one could even get together to practice and stuff. When did the style change? Did that have anything to do with it? Like, did it change sort of after that happened, or were you already morphing to this crossover thrash thing beforehand?
We were already switching over, but then we didn't like see each other for like 2 years. It felt like so it took a lot longer to make the actual jump.
Sure. And then I guess the reason we're talking today is because you have a new record coming out. By the time people hear this, it'll be imminent, or maybe it'll already be out depending on when they listen. So what can you tell me about the album? I mean, I know you have a few. I was listening on Bandcamp today. You got a few that are already out. This is sort of the next step for you. What are the details about the record?
So the new EP, Where Weakness Dies, it's just four tracks, short and simple. I think after our first release, this is more of the same, but I think we really wanted to try to be more harder. We tried to lean into a lot of our hardcore influences that we gained over like the years of writing these songs. Yeah.
How does that happen? I mean, was it just like people were listening to more hardcore and that kind of glommed itself onto the sound, or was that something deliberate that you tried to do to change the tone of it?
It was harder to find crossover thrash bands that weren't power trip to take inspiration from, and I didn't want to dilute all my sound and try to sound like them all the time.
Sure.
So I needed something else to try and push the boundaries a bit, so I took it like a deeper dive into what other people around us were listening to find some more inspiration.
So what were some of the bands, I guess, that provided that inspiration? Like who do you point to maybe as a group or individually as influences that maybe have are reflected on these new songs?
I've been listening to a lot of Nails. That's pretty evident on one of the songs. Another band called Spirit World I've been listening to a lot. Do a lot of interesting things that I had never thought of. So those two mainly.
Sure. And are there bands that all of you agree on? Or are you all radically different as far as what you listen to?
No, I'd say those two are pretty unanimous between the members of the band of people we like.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not really actually a big fan of Nails, but I agree with the Spirit World.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
Well, I guess maybe, since you're the new guy in the band, right? What, were you already a fan before, did you already know their music before you joined?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I've known these guys probably dating back to, 2018 for sure. The two members who, I'll just give a quick show. Yeah. The two members who can't be, or that unfortunately couldn't make it is, another member, Carlos Pau. The other guitar player, they were originally a three piece, so he was also the main riffer and the main lead writer and everything. And I knew him through another program that he was playing at called School of Rock. That's okay. I guess we both sort of got our start in music, and a lot of us in the music scene, like hardcore scene and whatnot, actually met through that program. And as teenagers in high school, and then adults, took it to a more professional level, I guess you could say. And I saw them perform live. I guess the first time would be School of Rock did these things called open mic nights at the, I don't know if you remember the venue, it was called the Cavern Club, where the Alzmer Tapos is now.
Cavern, yeah.
It was a nice little venue in the basement, pretty intimate, nice vibes in there and whatnot. And I was playing there with my own project at the time, and with friends more my age. And then they were, Carlos, he was in the adult band program, I guess, at the time. And I guess he had met Draven and our drummer, Zach. And they performed, I guess I saw them play a Power Trip cover, which was a band I definitely was a fan of at the time, and that was a band I was also planning on covering. And I definitely really enjoyed it. And I never really at the time, they did another gig with a band, I think you might have had that. Did you have Eulogist on the show by chance?
I have both their tapes too. Great band. Yeah
They were fantastic. So those two members, Justin and John, were actually my music teachers growing up. I'm still really good friends with them, Justin especially. And they Trauma Shot, back when they were called their old name, which we'll just not mention just because it's in the past. That's the old name. We weren't as big of a fan of it, but they were playing at that show, opening up for Eulogist and whatnot. I definitely really enjoy the music a lot. And I definitely, at that concert, I never would have imagined, because I was only 15 probably at that show, and I never would have thought that this many years later, 6 years down the line, 5 years, that I would end up joining the band and whatnot. So yeah, that was definitely an interesting thing. And I always knew we all shared similar musical tastes with we definitely all have our own unique favorites that each of us probably are different with, but at the end of the day, we all have the same sort of idea, and which I think sort of draws the chemistry of the band and why this band sort of been such a drive to stay together. And especially persevere through the pandemic and everything. Yeah. 6 years as a band is definitely a long time, or longer probably even. I'm not sure the exact amount of time in years, but that alone says a lot about everybody getting along and whatnot. And I could definitely see it another 6 years, 10 years with this band and everything. Cool. Just based on everybody.
I have a rendezvous with death.
It's interesting. I don't want to dwell on the School of Rock stuff, but I mean, I'm quite a bit older than you guys, I think. And when the School of Rock came out, I thought it was a very cool idea. And I thought it was something with little kids, which, I mean, it is. A lot of people are super young.
Oh, yeah.
And so definitely. now that they're graduating and they're playing in adult bands, it's very cool. I mean, obviously that was going to happen eventually, but I think this is the first time I've sort of realized that, some of these kids who started out there, now they're actually doing their own thing, which is very cool.
Yeah, for definitely. Yeah, you know, it definitely, yeah, their main selling point definitely is the younger kids. Like, they accept you as low, young as like 3, they have a program. Yeah. But yeah, they do have a certain program for adults, you know, for people who say, they're like, I never got to play an instrument, it would be cool if I could play on stage. And you pay a set amount of money a month, and they give you that opportunity. So that's a really nice service they offer, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So with the EP, why an EP? And the reason I ask this is because, you know, we're in an era now where the way music is consumed is totally different than it was even 15 years ago. And there's sort of no set way to put out a record now, right? I mean, people are doing physical copies still. Some people are doing it strictly online. Some people are doing only singles, full-length EP. What was the reason behind doing sort of a shorter project this time?
When it's simple, it takes us a long time to write songs.
That's fair. That's fair.
I wrote a majority of 3 of the songs, and I have no formal music education, so it takes me forever to finally latch onto something I think is actually good.
Okay.
That's particularly why I had ambitions of writing more songs, but that's as many as I could get out.
Fair enough. Is that usually, are you like the main songwriter in the band too, or is there a lot of collaboration between the members?
So the process, usually I come to the band with what I believe to be an almost realized song. And then I let Carlos, and Zach figure out stuff that just doesn't like mesh together, like transitions. And I let Zach do all the drums, 'cause I don't know anything about drumming. and they help structure it up better. So it's a little more interesting. Like, I just kind of like bring like bare bones. I think this is a song, or it could be a song. And then we work from there.
Cool. And so, you know, what, for people who know your band, people who've heard your band before, you know, whether it was in 2018 or last week or whatever, I mean, what can they expect differently on these songs? I mean, with this EP, what has changed, if anything, sonically, as far as sort of just the overall sound of the group?
Speed. Two of the songs are a lot faster. I noticed we were falling into the trap of staying around the same BPM for all of our songs, and that was not good, because this is the same. This, you know, if you come to see us, it's just the same. It feels like the same thing is happening for an entire set.
Yeah, it sounds like you got one song that you're just playing over and over. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I wanted to help break it up a bit, so a lot of these songs were designed to help alleviate that, or what I think was starting to become a problem.
Okay. And is that something you'd always sort of wanted to do too? Is speed up the songs or what?
Yes, we initially tried, and we couldn't figure it out. But I feel like after trying for a bit, we feel comfortable working in that direction.
Sure.
It was tricky trying to write a faster tempo song and keep it interesting and not fall into a trap of writing just like a really generic song that just wouldn't move people.
Right. Well, and is that what you're looking for when you have a song that sort of, you know, is going to work? Is the idea that it's going to move people? Is that sort of maybe a better way to word that is, when do you know when a song is ready? Because you sort of talked about the process of writing these songs, and, you know, you come with the bare bones, bring it to the group. But at what point are you sort of collectively decide that this song is gonna be a song that sticks around?
Normally we know that when we're jamming on it, and like the 3 of us kind of get this like stupid grin, and like, you know, you just like impulsively start dancing to it, and then we know, like, okay, we got something, we're cooking here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
know, Winnipeg has obviously, as I'm sure you know very well, has a very big and deep and a lot of history as far as heavy music in general, whether it's punk, whether it's hardcore, whether it's any form of metal. I mean, it's a big thing here. It's almost like rivaling sort of country and bluegrass and blues and stuff for Winnipeg. It's sort of the two main sections of music almost. And so do you have sort of an idea of, at this point, having been a band for a while, of where you fit in within the local music scene? I mean, you know, like you said, you have this sort of more hardcore influence now. Does that change things about sort of where you place yourselves within the scene? I mean, because obviously you could play with metal bands, you could play with hardcore bands, you could play with punk bands, things like that. Like, do you have a place where you feel like you fit?
I feel like the underground hardcore scene is where we found our niche. I think that those are the shows that I want to play with. Those are a lot of the bands I also want to play with.
Yeah.
I think the people who help run that scene have been really good to us and helped promote the VAM, which I am forever thankful for.
Yeah, it seems like that's continually growing. Like, I always see posters for shows, and it's like there's three new bands that just started last week, and so it was crazy. It's very cool to see.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the community that you guys came up going to shows in, like as just music fans before you started your own bands, or are you from somewhere else musically?
I'm from like most of the metal scene. That's where I started my first band, like doing shows with like Corey Thomas and Indercat.
Okay.
With my other band, Cause of Death. We're like more death metal. And then, yeah, the hardcore scene was something that was definitely there. But it recently got like a big boost back in like 2020, 2021, 2022 with the formation of like bands such as like Hopscotch Battle Scars.
I love that band. Yeah, great band.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, definitely a bunch of close friends of ours, people I play with for years, like Jude from that band. He's like somebody I've known since childhood. So yeah, cool. Definitely. Great people and whatnot, and yeah, they definitely brought like the youth to the scene, started getting younger kids into the music, and just keeping like all that heavy music and stuff alive, and just bringing more culture in a safe space just to all the venues and the scene and in general, and encouraging good behavior. And it's just yeah, just really great to see the revival of a second scene. And it's like, definitely would love, just because we really test the balance. Like, if you listen to our music, like the hardcore kids could get down to it, but we also at the same time could play at any type of Ninja Cat Park Theater metal gig with like thrash metal bands, like metal bands, like just because I feel like we're very versatile in style. Like, there's two step parts, there's fast circle pit parts, like all that sort of stuff. So that's the thing I love about our genre and whatnot. And yeah, we definitely plan to, the music's definitely not going to stop. I definitely want to start pull out my socks and help contribute to the next releases, which definitely our big goal is, yeah, the next thing to definitely do a full length album, which already in the works, because I just think consistency and putting in the work for the music, that's like the way to go, and then playing shows and whatnot, it's great. It's definitely very very awesome that we get this opportunity.
For sure. You know, you just mentioned a second ago about, you know, already in the works on new stuff. I mean, do you already have new songs that are sort of on their way to being part of another project?
Not recorded, but yeah, we're already starting the writing process.
The reason I ask that is I ask a lot of people this, actually, is I mean, do you feel that now that you have new stuff you're working on, and this older but still also new stuff is about to come out, do you feel like you've already moved sort of in any way beyond the stuff that's on this EP? Like, has the band progressed even more with what you're working on now, or are you still sort of in the same mode?
I'd say it's probably a little too early to say. We definitely still have a lot of work to do, and yeah, I think it could go anywhere, especially if it's a full length. We could definitely expand the horizon for like many different styles of music within the genre throughout the album, because we'll have a lot more space to do so, hopefully like 10 to 13 songs or whatnot.
It only takes one bullet.
You ain't got the nerve.
Try me.
Yeah.
What's the plan for this EP as far as releasing it? I mean, you know, again, there's so many ways people put stuff out. Obviously, your stuff's online. I'm assuming this is just a digital release, or are you doing physicals as well?
I know several members have thought about making some sort of physical release to sell, but I'm not interested in that personally.
Okay. Well, out of curiosity, why not? I mean, I only ask because I'm old and set in my ways and I don't do streaming. I only listen pretty much to tapes and records and CDs. So I'm complete opposite, view there. But what's your reason for wanting to just strictly go, like, is it just the cost or something else?
The cost. I'm like, I don't know. I don't really see the point of buying.
We're also probably going to save it for the full length, because rather than only put in the money for four songs, it would make a lot more sense to put in the money for a lot of songs. And definitely in the future, we will. It's just, yeah, if we feel for an EP, definitely digital is more the appropriate route to go. But
sure,
we definitely still are on the works with more merch designs. That's definitely our big thing. We've been very forward with making more merch, plenty of merch, and there's definitely a lot available. And yeah, there's more to come for sure for that.
Well, and I guess another reason I asked that too is because hardcore is always sort of, and I know you're not strictly a hardcore band, but hardcore has been traditionally one of those genres that's kept making tapes sort of nonstop, right? There hasn't been like a break. I mean, a lot of genres, tapes back when I was a kid were the format, and they stopped. But hardcore and a lot of forms of metal as well have just sort of kept going with that. So it's that's sort of what I was wondering. But it makes sense to save something like that for a full length.
Little.
When is the actual release date of this? I mean, if someone's listening to this before the EP comes out, what do they need to know? Where can they find it? How do they get it?
I guess March 22nd, everywhere.
Everywhere.
All streaming platforms, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, probably everywhere. I'm not like,
there's a lot of them. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of them.
Yeah, sure. I don't even remember half of them lose, but I definitely the popular ones for sure.
And then do you have anything coming up as far as shows, in support of this record or anything like that?
Yeah, at the end of March, I believe March 29th or 28th? 29th. Yeah, March 29th. We're playing with Eyes Front, a band coming from Calgary.
Yeah.
Calgary, yeah. Very great band.
Cool. Where is that show?
Yeah, it's going to be at the St. James Lanes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've been meaning to go to one of those shows. I keep seeing that they're doing shows there, and I love the idea of like that, you know, kind of shitty basement bowling alley. It's a great idea. I live nearby too. I should probably try to go.
Oh,
I keep seeing the posters definitely. And being like, oh, I should go to this. I never do, but it's very cool as a venue to have like kind of unusual stuff like that. I always liked those shows when I was younger too.
Oh, yeah,
at places like that.
Now the vibes are immaculate at that venue. I love it.
I bet. Yeah. How big is it? Like, how many people can you fit in there?
As many as we want, I guess. I don't even think.
Okay, how many people is it safe to fit in there? I guess is maybe a better question.
I don't even know if there's there probably is. I don't know, like probably like at least 100.
Cool.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty spacious room.
I've only been there for bowling when I was a kid, so like I don't remember. I haven't been there for a show, but I'm definitely interested.
I'm not even sure if we're planning the exact bowling alley. I think it's like a room next door of the bowling alley.
Okay.
Yeah.
But either way, it's cool. It's cool that non-traditional venues like that, I always like to see them. If someone is hearing about you for the first time on the show and they want to check out more of your stuff, what's the best way to find you online and sort of follow about upcoming shows or upcoming releases and things like that?
At our Instagram, that's our most updated form of social media. I know we have a Facebook page, but I don't know how often that's updated.
It just sort of link every time we post on Instagram, it will automatically post to our Facebook type of thing. So
yeah. Okay.
So the Instagram's the main spot though.
Oh yes, definitely.
Cool. And then people who are obviously listening to the audio version aren't going to see this, but they'll see the screenshot with your faces on it. What's with the Capitals and Leafs jerseys?
I guess it
seems like it must be on purpose, right? The fact that you're both wearing those particular we're just hockey
fans, honestly.
I mean, I am too, but it's just those two teams in particular. What's
Capitals probably have always been my favorite team because I don't know, Alex Ovechkin's always been honestly one of my favorite players, and I was really happy when he won the Stanley Cup, and I believe they could win again this year. And yeah, I'm really excited for him to beat Wayne Gretzky's record, because Wayne Gretzky's a traitor to this country.
I'm glad you said that. Like, I agree with you. But
I can't believe you said that.
It's great. It's great.
I'm no that. Wayne slander.
I don't slander Wayne.
That might be the clip I use when I promote this episode. Shitting on Wayne.
Because he didn't wear a Canada jersey at the Canada game. And he's friends with Donald Trump.
That's right,
so
he felt
embarrassed. So, yeah, my favorite, I'm going to count Alex Ovechkin for the win.
And then the Leafs, is that the same deal with you? Sort of a team that you've always followed? Or, I mean, I guess that's a Matthews jersey? Or
I like the Leafs. I made the mistake of cheering for them in 2018 when I moved to the city. And I was like, oh, hockey's pretty lit. I should pick a team. And then I was fooled. They looked good at the time. And they have not been good.
Yeah, no.
I'm not deep, though. I can't change.
Yeah, once you pick a team, you're stuck with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really bizarre tangent. But okay, so the EP, what's the title of the EP again? And what's the release date? So people can check it out if they're hearing it when this comes out.
Where Weakness Dies, March 22nd. Out everywhere.